You are raised to life again. God is good. And all the time. And it has already been such a good day here at First Baptist in Elon. And as we began at 9 a.m. seeking God's vision together and talking about our vision statement, and especially looking at faith formation, spiritual formation, and how we grow and encounter Christ in our spiritual life, we learned this morning that we are all not the same. Did you know that? And as we looked around the room, we saw that some encounter spiritual life through contemplation and study and reading. Others would find themselves more connected to God beside a pond in the wilderness. Others sitting in a pew steeped in tradition. And then I always step back and say, could you imagine trying to preach to that every Sunday with all those different expectations and spiritual needs? This afternoon, after worship, we do encourage you, even if you did not come to the morning session, to stay for lunch. And then after lunch, we'll have a time to think about these concepts in the larger picture of the life of our church and really seek some tangible things to walk away with today that we might try to do together as a body of Christ in the coming year. So it's a very important discussion. If you have any mobility issues with getting up the hill this morning, our deacons have graciously agreed to provide some transportation. There will be a car or two parked right out here, right out front, that can pick you up and take you up the hill so that you don't have to navigate the staircase or wait in any kind of line. So if you do have that interest, it's available for you today. Also want to remind you that this next Sunday is the 70th anniversary of our church. Hello? Say, yeah, amen. The 70th anniversary of our church. And not only that, we have the one and only Norman Harris coming to bring the word of God for us. And he is was a part of this church for a long time. And I hear he's looking for a church. So we want to pray for him to come and be a part of that. And we look forward to the fellowship and the food, which is the real reason we gather for homecoming to follow. It's going to be two great Sundays, this Sunday and next. Rick, we're thankful for you, Rick Jordan. Has been here with us from CBF North Carolina, facilitating our conversation. And many of you probably feel like you know Rick from reading things that he's written over the years and hearing about him through us and seeing picture in different publications. We're thankful and grateful to have you here with us. Again, please stay after worship today as we continue this important discussion and continue to think about God's vision. As we prepare for worship today, we are guided by that same theme, seeking to know what it is God would want from us, seeking to know what it is God would have us do. We come to wrestle with our first passage of Scripture from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 17, verses 5 and 6. The apostle said to the Lord, "Increase our faith." The Lord replied, "If you had faith the size of a mustard seed, you could say to this mulberry tree, 'Be uprooted and planted in the sea,' and it would obey you." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Would you pray with me? Lord, as we prayed this morning, we said that we gathered together in a fog. We pray we leave with clear vision. And so we call upon your name in this sacred space. We know that long before we awoke this morning, you were here preparing for our visit and our time with you. Long before our first cup of coffee, you were here waiting for us, eagerly ready for us to encounter you in worship. We are here, Lord, to praise your name and to sing the songs of our faith. But we are also here that you might challenge us, that you might shake us a little bit, put us a little bit off balance, God, so that we must rely on you. It is only in our comfort that we find ourselves slacking and growing apathetic. Lord, make us uncomfortable. Cause us to force ourselves to open our eyes wider and look a little harder and rely on you more fully. For For you are our help. You are our maker. You are our sustainer. And you are indeed our Savior. In the name of Jesus the Christ, we pray. Amen. We invite you to stand if you are able as we sing our offertory hymn, Rise Up, O Church of God. Please stand.
Pray with me. Father, as we come to that time of the service where we return a portion of the gifts that you have blessed us with, as we seek to minister not just within these walls, but in our community and across this world, we are reminded of the challenge we heard this morning of being transformed into the image of Christ. Father, we are a constantly changing being. We are constantly changing individually and as a congregation, and may the offerings that we give today, may it be a form of change, a form of servanthood this day and every day. In the Lord's name we pray. Amen. Thank you for that. It's been a blessing to have you in our congregation again this Sunday. I've had a great honor and pleasure of seeing Ivy grow up in this congregation, come through our youth group, work beside me as a youth leader for many years. She has a passion for young people. She has a gift that is beyond measure. There's something else that Ivy and her husband Amos that are very kindred spirits to my family in, is that we love Disney. Amen, 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 amen. Amos, I know you do. We are Disney people. That is why I have worn my Disney tie today. Everybody said it's supposed to be casual Sunday. Well, I had to wear my Disney tie today because, as you know, my family is a Disney family. The boys were raised watching Disney movies, reading Disney books, traveling to the Mecca that is known as Disney World. We still do that every single year, and we look forward to that coming up in a couple weeks. But one thing I love doing, because of being a Disney person, is reading the history behind Disney. Not just that it is, but why and how it became what it is. I came across a story that I want to share with you this morning. It's a story about Walt Disney. Shortly after Disneyland in California was built, Walt would spend a lot of time in the theme park. He would walk around. He would watch people. He would watch families because that was his intent. That was his goal, was to bring families together. And this one day in the park, he was sitting beside one of the wishing wells in Disneyland, and a young boy by the age of about 8 years old, wise beyond his years, came up to Walt at the wishing well, and he said, "Sir, I have been told that you are a very wise man. And I need to ask you a question." And the question that he asked Walt Disney that day was this: "What is the secret to life?" It's a powerful question from an eight-year-old, right? That's a question I've been asking myself for years, and I still don't know the answer to. But Walt replied with this thing. He said, "The secret to life can be summed up in four basic words. The first word is think. Think about the values you wish to live your life by. The second word is believe. Believe in yourself based on the thinking you've done about the values you are going to live your life by. The third word," he said, "is this: dream. Dream about the things that can be based on your belief in yourself and the values you're going to live your life by. And the final word was this: dare. Dare to make dreams about the reality that you want to create based on your belief in yourselves and your values. Now, I'm sure that 8-year-old boy walked away saying, "What?" And you may be saying, "What? Think, believe, dream, and dare." Those four words from a man beyond his years, an imagineer, a planner, a gentleman that shaped and transformed society, I think is four words that maybe we need to reflect on this day as we seek to serve and seek to honor God through following His vision for our congregation. So my challenge to you today is this: during my sermon, I want you to ask those four questions about yourself. Think, believe, dream, and dare. But don't stop there. Don't stop individually, because we heard Rick's talk about a little while later. It's not just about us. It's about our congregation. It's about who we're trying to reach out to. So think, believe, dream, and dare for the life of First Baptist Church of Elon. This morning we have been challenged already, and we'll be continue to be challenged following our worship time, and I encourage you to stay for our lunch and our further conversation as we seek to find out what spiritual formation looks like to our congregation, but also what it looks like to follow God's vision for our church. Now, as we think about these four words, there is a passage of Scripture that I've chosen for today, and it's one of those passages of Scripture that you're like, is that really in the Bible? You know, I could easily pick something from the Gospels, you know, Jesus' wise words to us in forming the image of Christ, or think about Paul's words to one of his many churches that would speak to us as well. But today, I chose a passage that, you know what, may be a little bit more challenging, because we are challenging our congregation. Reading from Habakkuk, and you may need to take some time to find that in your Bible if you got your Bible with you. The Bible app will pull it up real quickly. But reading from Habakkuk chapter 2, and to set the scene before I get to the passage this morning, you need to understand what Habakkuk was going through. Habakkuk was living in the time of the divided kingdom of Israel. Israel and Judah had divided. Israel had been wiped away by raiding societies. And so Habakkuk is living in the southern kingdom of Judah. And in that southern kingdom, there was a rampant amount of injustice, specifically by the leadership. They were going through a difficult time, and God was about to step in and do something about it. Now, Habakkuk is a prophet. And most of the time in the Old Testament prophets, what we see is that God would speak to a prophet, and the prophet would take his word to the people that he was trying to address. Well, Habakkuk is the reverse of that. Habakkuk was taking the word of the people and himself as things he was seeing to God, and God, in turn, was telling him what he was going to do. So a little bit different. He wasn't taking the message to the people. He was asking questions to God. And that could be a dangerous thing, but it's going to be an important thing. We can't be afraid to ask God questions. And Habakkuk was ready to ask these questions. He actually debated God, and it comes in two forms. And what we're reading today in Habakkuk chapter 2, verses 1 through 4, is the tail end of Habakkuk's second question to God. God said, I'm going to do something, and what I'm going to do is I'm going to send the Babylonians, the Chaldeans, you'll see it listed here, I'm going to send the Babylonians into your society, and they're going to wipe you out. They're going to take you down. They're going to take your leadership away. Your whole society of what you know today is going to happen. And Habakkuk's like, well, God, that's not what I was asking for. You know, I'm not coming on behalf of the people saying, you know, you need to do something about this. Isn't there some other way that we can get to where we know we want to be? And that's where we pick up the scripture passage today. So reading chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. I will stand at my watch post and station myself on the rampart. I will keep watch to see what he will say to me and what he will answer concerning my complaint. Then the Lord answered me and said, write the vision, make it plain on tablets so that a runner may read it. For there is still a vision for the appointed time. It speaks of the end and does not lie. If it seems to tarry, wait for it. It will surely come. It will not delay. Look at the proud. Their spirit is not right in them, but the righteous live by their faith. Now, you might be saying, like that 8-year-old boy when he talked to Walt Disney about the meaning of life, saying, what? What are you saying here? God, you know, what kind of response is this to a question that I'm asking? But I want to remind you of those four words. Think, believe, dream, and dare. Because in the midst of these four verses, this is what God was challenging Habakkuk, and God was challenging the nation of Judah, and God is challenging us today to do. Think, believe, dream, and dare. God challenged Habakkuk to think about the present situation. Think about where you are right now. You came to me with a cry of injustice. You came to me because society was corrupt and it needed to be changed. You came to me because you were hoping for something bigger. Think about where you are now. But don't stop thinking. Don't just ask the question and not expect a response to come. Habakkuk asked the question, and the response was not in his favor. I'm going to send the Babylonian Empire. Yes, I said those people, the Babylonian Empire, those people that we want to push to the side, those people that are more unjust than we are, but I'm going to use them as a tool, as a resource to shape you and bring you to where I want you to be. You know, can you imagine being Habakkuk and having to take that message back to your people? Guess what? It's not going to be fun. Think. Think about where you are and think about where you want to be. First Baptist Elon, we have to think. We have to think about who we are, where we are. 70 years ago, 47 charter members felt the call and saw the vision for a Baptist church in this community, this small community of Elon College. 70 years ago, 47 individuals came and they had that vision. We'll be celebrating that next Sunday, but we need to be celebrating that every Sunday. You know what? God has an opportunity. He has a vision for us. And that same vision that was there 70 years ago continues to live today and will live for 70 more years if we follow His will. Now, it will not look the same as it did 70 years ago. God did not tell Habakkuk, I'm going to make you into the nation that you were. He said, I'm going to make you into the nation I want you to be. First Baptist Elon, we're not being made into who we were. We're being made into who He wants us to be. Think about it. Think about who we were. Think about who we are right now. And think about who He wants us to be. But don't stop there. Thinking can sometimes get you in trouble, especially when you don't follow it up with action. So we think, but then we believe. Habakkuk believed that God was just. He came to Him crying that injustice exists in our nation and something needs to be done. And Habakkuk believed that the just God would bring about justice into his country. He didn't know what that was going to look like. He didn't know how that was going to happen. And when he found out about it, he probably thought to himself, well, maybe I shouldn't have asked that question. But he still believed that God was just and that God had a plan. God had a vision. God had a purpose for that congregation, for that church. And God has the same purpose for us today. We don't just think, we have to believe it. We have to put our faith in God. And in putting our faith in God, we have to understand that it may not look like what we expect it to look like, but it's going to look like what God wants it to be. I think about our history. I think about Bob and Lil Scott and Roy and Margaret Hicks, who in the early 50s mortgaged their own homes to keep the doors of this congregation open. We've heard that story before. That was believing that God had a purpose and plan. And that same purpose and plan has not gone anywhere. It's still here. We just have to be able to follow God in making it happen. I think about Bob often and being able to minister to him in the late years of his life. And in talking with him, he had a passion and a belief that was so strong, that was so capable, that he didn't know what the future brought, but he did know that God had a purpose for our congregation. I hope we carry that with us today. It may not be easy. It may not look like what we intended for it to look like. It may require us to do some things that maybe we're being challenged to do. But we still have to believe. But don't stop there. Don't just stop thinking and believing. We have to dream. Habakkuk believed that God had a grander plan for his nation. Even though he questioned the method, he dreamed of a greater time where they were being formed in the image of God. That's what Habakkuk was desiring. He didn't know how that formation was going to take place. Sometimes that formation takes our hands and we just kind of mold it into the place we want to be. Sometimes it means taking a hammer and a nail and chiseling it out. We don't know how it's going to happen. But you know what? He dreamed that it could happen, and it did. First Baptist Elon, we have to be challenged to dream as Habakkuk did. And we have to be fully aware that we may not like the result of what God is calling us to do. I think Rick mentioned it today. We have to feel a little uncomfortable. Because in that uncomfortability, that's where true growth happens. How is God calling us to minister in our community? How is God calling us to minister in our state, our nation, our world? Dreaming led this congregation in 1997 to implement Love in Action, a mission blitz day that brought 200 members from our congregation to minister in our community. That was the first of many. 200, seeing the need for mission and change in our community. That was dreaming. That was dreaming. Dreaming sent mission teams to Brazil and to the Ukraine. Dreaming sent youth groups up and down the East Coast of the United States of America. Dreaming called us to partner with Carson and Laura Fushi in Japan, CBF missionaries. That's what dreaming does. We can't stop dreaming. Dreaming guided our congregation to join the Cooperative Baptist Fellowship in the late 1990s. That's what dreams do. Dreaming leads to change. The question is, how do we get there? Through Him. But we don't stop there. We don't stop at think, believe, and dream. We have to dare to do something about it. I hope you were challenged this morning, and I hope you will stay after lunch today to continue to be challenged, to dare to dream about what our vision is here at First Baptist Elon. Habakkuk dared to ask the hard questions. He didn't like the answers, but he dared to ask the hard questions. And he was willing to know that God had a plan and he was going to follow through no matter what. Are we willing to do the same thing? Are we willing to ask the hard questions? Are we willing to be challenged by the dark times? In the hard times? Are we willing to recognize that the same God that Habakkuk questioned thousands of years ago is the same God that brought us together 70 years ago and that is here with us today And are we challenged to do what he's challenging us to do? Do we dare to do it? Or do we just dream and let those dreams flutter away? One of the many teachers that I've had in this congregation, the late Nancy Bowling, shared with me in what turned out to be one of the last conversations I had with her before she passed away in her untimely death. She spoke these words, and they still ring true. She said, "Remain faithful. God has a plan and purpose for everything, for me, for you, and for our church." Remain faithful. God has a plan and purpose for everything, for me, for you, for our church. As I think about Habakkuk's words, I think about that testimony. And I think about numerous other testimonies that I've been fortunate to see for 25 years in this congregation. And I look forward to seeing what God is challenging us to do for the next 25 years. Think, believe, dream, dare. George Barna, the great Christian statistician and author, wrote in a book, How to Find Your Church, and I'm going to ask Wesley if you'll pull that quote up for me, please. He said these words, "Vision is the ability to understand the history, the present condition, and the potential of the church, and to conceive a plan for action that will maximize the ministry potential. More often than not, vision is a result of having spent much time absorbing the facts about our community, knowing the resources upon which the church can call, and devising sound but creative strategies for moving forward. Vision always entails progress. It is never satisfied with the status quo." Take a moment and digest those words. So the question I ask you today, First Baptist Church of Elon, is this. How do we see God's vision? How do we conceive a plan for the future like Barna describes in his book? How do we move forward in progress for his future plan for us? That's the big question. That's what we're in the midst of right now with our congregation. That's where we've been, that's where we are, and that's where we're going. Wesley, pull up that last slide, please. But the key is to think, believe, dream, and dare. Let's pray. Father, it's amazing how your words ring true from thousands of years ago to the present day in this little time and place. While we're thousands of miles of where Habakkuk was asking those tough questions, we as a congregation are asking those tough questions today and yesterday and tomorrow. Father, we have 70 years of foundation that have been laid before us. And as we grow on that foundation, as we look to our present situation, as we plan for the future, may we know that it's your plan that we seek. It's your vision that we desire. Father, we don't know what tomorrow holds, but you do. Father, I ask that you challenge us to think, to believe, to dream, and to dare. In your Son's name we pray. Amen.
Our closing hymn this morning is Spirit of the Living God. Let's stand.
Know that it's been an abbreviated service today, and we want to have the time that the Lord would have us to share upstairs. Again, please come upstairs and join in the final conversation, about an hour, and then we'll have our round table immediately following that discussion. We're going to invite Rick to go ahead and start making his way up there so he can get ahead of all of you, and David's going to escort you to make sure you don't run away. Today, if you do need, again, if you need a little help, assistance making it up the hill, there will be a vehicle or two parked right outside that can provide you a little transportation up that way. Instructions for the meal, please make your way up to the fellowship hall. There are several different types of soups that you can try from, and you can go down both sides of the table. Would you receive this benediction, and we'll also have the blessing of our meal. Would you pray with me? May the Lord cause you to be a person of vision, His vision, for your life and for the life of the community around you. And Lord, may you bless this meal that we are about to receive. Bless the fellowship around the table, and bless our continued conversations as we continue to seek your Spirit's guidance for the life of this congregation, your church, our home. Amen. Go in peace.